Once on the moon, Armstrong described what it was like to walk in an alien world.
Surface is fine and battery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, powdered charcoal, to the sole and inside of my boot. It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States. It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
While Armstrong did some preliminary work on the moon, such as examining the Eagle for damage and collecting a first sample of lunar soil, his fellow astronaut Buzz Aldrin watched from the open hatch, burning with desire to join Armstrong on the moon.
Okay, ready for me to come out?
Yeah, just stand by a second. I'll move this over the handrail.
Armstrong guided Buzz out of the Eagle.
How far are my feet from me?
Okay, you're right at the edge of the porch.
Now I want to back up and partially close the hatch. Making sure not to lock it on my way out.
Particularly good thought.
That's our home for the next couple of hours. We want to take good care of it.
Beautiful view. Isn't that something? Magnificent sight out here.
And then one of those moments which might get lost in history, the first words of the second man on the moon.
Magnificent desolation.
Standing there in that magnificent desolation, a quarter of a million miles from home, Neil Armstrong read the commemorative plaque carried from Earth on the landing gear of their lunar module.
Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, AD. We came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States.
The men next moved their television camera out to a distance of about 50 feet. The black and white picture seemed almost ghost-like, but it clearly showed the two men cavorting about in the 1/6 gravity of the moon. At one point, Aldrin, testing his Earth legs on the moon, hopped about like a kangaroo. And then this dramatic moment, as it was reported by Houston to Michael Collins in the Columbia.
I guess you're about the only person around that doesn't have TV coverage of the scene.
That's all right, I don't mind a bit.
They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar surface.
Beautiful, just beautiful.
Once again, Houston came on the line with a request for the moonwalkers to stand by for a special communication.
Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you. Over.
That would be an honor.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with America in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you heavens have become, and as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this Earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward, to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
If the landing on the moon had never been tried before, neither had a blast-off from the moon back into lunar orbit. The little rocket engine of the Eagle had to burn perfectly to boost the men high enough and fast enough to place them in a position for rendezvous and docking with the Columbia. Those last hours on the moon were, for those of us on Earth at least, ones of apprehension and anxiety. The blast-off had to work.
All right.
26, 36 feet per second up. 5, put a pitch over. Mm-hmm. Very smooth. Balance couple off. Very quiet ride. There's that one crater down there.
1,000 feet high, 80 feet per second vertical rise.
And so it did work. Eagle went into orbit, where it was met by Columbia. Splashdown was Thursday, July 24th, in the Pacific. However, it was no ordinary astronaut's homecoming. The men were treated as if they had the plague, and indeed no one knew for sure whether or not they had brought back with them some unknown disease from the moon. And so, on arrival back on the carrier Hornet, they were placed in a portable quarantine van to spend 18 days in splendid isolation. On hand to greet them was President Richard Nixon, who conducted his greetings through a window in the isolation van.
Neil, Buzz, and Mike, gee, you look great. You feel as good as you look.
Oh,
feel great.
I feel just perfect, Mr. President.
Yeah. I was thinking that this is the greatest week in the history of the world since the creation. As a result of what you've done, the world's never been closer together before. And we just thank you for that. And I only hope that all of us in government, all of us in America, that as a result of what you've done, we can do our job a little better. We can reach for the stars just as you have reached so far from the stars.
With the men safely on board the Hornet, with the American flags and big cigars broken out in mission control, the flight of Apollo 11 was over. Perhaps what man's first trip to the moon really meant was best summed up by Buzz Aldrin as he spoke from space during the long trip home.
We've come to the conclusion that this has been far more than three men on a voyage to the moon. More still than the efforts of a government and industry team. More even than the efforts of one nation. We feel that this stands as a symbol of the insatiable curiosity of all mankind to explore the unknown. Neil's statement the other day upon first setting foot on the surface of the moon, this is a small step for a man, but a great leap for mankind, I believe sums up these feelings very nicely. Personally, in reflecting the events of the past several days, a verse from the Psalms comes to mind to me. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?